Hey everyone, this is Jonathan Erlich, and I'm really excited to be hosting Julian Boutilup today. Julian is the CEO of State Capital and he's also part of the Curve team. So thank you for taking the time, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, sure, sir. So before getting into all things Curve and State Capital, I wanted to know more about your background and how you got into crypto.
Yeah, sure. So my background is tech. I used to be, I've got a huge, pretty deep background in mathematics. So I study advanced mathematics in France and then went to the US where I specialized. I did a computer science master in embedded systems, electrical engineering, and specialized in machine learning. So, and then I worked for security defense company. I was building some machine learning algorithm for defense, and then build my own company in Singapore. Went back to London where I built a consulting company in machine learning. And in late 2011, I was running some computers, about like 48 computers in my attic for cloud hosting. So it was back in the old days of mega upload and all those different things. And as I used to be a very big fan and actually national, quite a nice level in CS, in Counter-Strike, one of my friends challenged me to run this algorithm on those computers just for fun. And actually it was, I discovered that it was a couple of months later, it was Bitcoin. So then I end up in this huge shit show of Mt. Gox, Mt. Gox, and then later discovered Ethereum in 2015, a little bit, early 2015. And since then I've been building different companies around blockchain and Ethereum.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. So you've been in crypto since 2011?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
That's amazing, man. That's amazing. So, when did you start State Capital? And can you tell us about what the company is about and what you're currently doing and what the vision is with State Capital?
Yeah, sure. So, the original idea about State Capital was actually just I was trying to find a way for me to stake my assets. So I had invested in Tezos, Polkadot, and LifePeer, like staking on Ethereum. And I was just looking for a way for me to stake them. Well, the thing is, then I look into the space and I thought that the space was pretty early in staking as a service. And with my experience of mining Bitcoin or mining Ethereum back in the days, I thought about, okay, instead of me giving my assets to some providers who are bootstrapping the infrastructure, with my experience of Amazon and Equinix, BSO, bare metal servers across the world, I said, okay, maybe I can use my knowledge to just to basically put my asset at work using my own infrastructure. And then a lot of different people, like friends, they reach out to me and they said, "Okay, listen, can you offer this service for me? And you charge a 20 or 25% fees for that service." I said, "Okay, cool." And then later on, I think about like 6 or 7 months later, I opened to retail, and we quickly reached some big asset under management, over 50 million asset under management. So that's how we became quite known in the industry of security as a service. And then because I'm more like, my background is mathematics and also algorithmic trading, for example, like in London when I used to do like trading, so DeFi started booming and it was pretty crazy. So like a year and a half ago I wrote this article called it was actually a light paper of State Capital with liquid staking, So I created this concept of liquid staking that now it's like it's used everywhere in the space. And so that was actually migrating, trying to stake assets into different protocols without being locked into, like for example, Tezos is 21 days or Cosmos is also 21 days and all these different things. So actually moving stake capital into more, something more DeFi. And then I got involved in different, so last year in January, February, I got involved at the early stage of Curve.Finance. So then it appeared to be that I was more fit for DeFi rather than protocols, than DevOps level. So I start building auditing. So I start like getting on the auditing side of smart contracts and DeFi and got more involved in building some of those tools. For example, so now Stake Capital, we do 20% of staking as a service, but our main business is liquidation, market maker, arbitrage, flash loans, and all those different things. So it's more like a quantitative hedge fund, which I'm 100% applying to DeFi with my experience of the traditional finance. And recently, I think that was like 2 weeks ago, recently launched a Stake DAO. So Stake DAO is purely for retail. It's a plug and play. You don't need to understand DeFi. You don't need a wallet. You need just like an Instagram account or whatever, just an email, and just connect and you can immediately invest or participate in the best strategies and also like the best things that DeFi can offer. StakeDAO is not a portal, it's not a window to DeFi. StakeDAO give you access to the best things that we think is the best for you without thinking about it. That's what it does. So we're not like people, they say, oh, it looks like Zerion, or it looks like Zapper. No, I love those products. They just have a different business model, different use case. They are used for people that are already in DeFi to access all those bunch of different products. Well, StakeDAO just doesn't give you access to everything, just give you access to the best. That's what we do.
I love that vision. And I saw that you're basically offering like all that's under the Stake Capital umbrella for StakeDAO, right? So I was wondering if StakeDAO was sort of a step to decentralized Stake Capital, or will both entities operate?
They're completely different now. Stake Capital does its own business, but StakeDAO, we welcome anyone to build on StakeDAO. For example, we have Fobo as a staking as a service, which is a major staking as a service in Asia. But for example, if Stradlebeats or Figment or anyone wants to provide services on the protocol level, then fine. We don't actually, it's not like, obviously at the beginning, you need someone to create it. I create it first, but it's just open to anyone. And the more you share, the more you get. So I prefer sharing a big cake than sharing a small cake by myself. That's why it's more fun, you know? You don't want to find yourself alone at the table. You want to share and then have fun. So StakeDAO is exactly this. You provide services, you will get governance tokens. And the more you provide, the more you get. That's what we do. So we have protocol liquid staking. Actually, we're going to release this month about 10 new liquid staking products. So you'll be able to provide assets across different protocols, but also switch between those protocols. So you actually have a bridge between protocols, which is like pretty fascinating for me, because then you can build a trading on the top of it. You can also build futures and options. And that's exactly what we're doing. We have a strategies. So strategies are providing, for example, we're building strategies for NFTs. So Blackpool. Blackpool is a hedge fund for NFT. We are one of the top, within a few couple of weeks, we're the top actor in the NFT space. We are the biggest one on Sorare. We're going to announce something on Top Shot. We're also pretty big in Axie, God and Chain, Decentraland, CryptoVoxel. So basically, this strategy will be offered on StakeDAO. But if there's someone else, for example, NFTX or Nifty or those guys, they want to have access to StakeDAO, it's open source. They just make a pull request on GitHub and they can provide. Think about StakeDAO as Disneyland. And in Disneyland, you have multiple different attractions. That's exactly the same. You enter the park and then the park gives you everything around to enjoy your adventure. So you can have like food, you can have like access to ATM or whatsoever. It's exactly like this. StakeDAO give you the entire pipeline. You connect to the platform. You can buy crypto. You can exchange crypto. You can send crypto. You can participate to strategies. They're either built by StakeDAO people or they're built by outside people. And then we're also building futures and options. That's the thing. But primarily, the idea behind StakeDAO was to build on the top, and it's still, that's the vision, because I truly believe that Curve is one of the most impressive protocol in the space. So StakeDAO is built on top of Curve, and this will remain like this. I will provide the best features possible for the protocol of Curve, but then we can also build on top of other protocols, such as Have or SushiSwap, or like stuff like that. It's community-wise.
Amazing, amazing. And I wanna get like into the weeds of StakeDAO, but like before getting into that, I wanted to sort of give a shout out to, I don't know who's the team behind your branding, but I just love it. You know, the idea of the different animals in white with the black background. So I wanted you to maybe comment on sort of like what's the idea behind the animals and sort of who's the team behind it. I love it, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if you know like Wrecked News. I mean, like all the project that, I mean, Wrecked, the news, pretty famous news now that, I mean, the newspaper that we write articles. This came when I was doing auditing and also like I was trying to write some articles, and then I found someone that had the skills of writing. So then we built a team. But if you look at Wrecked, it's like ape. So we call it Ape Tax. And also the frog. So the animals is in every project, for example, like Blackpool, Wrecked, StakeDAO, you always have a very strong identity. In StakeDAO, it's the elephant, and they call it the hare. And you have different way of finding or identifying yourself in the project through those images and stickers. And then you give a real identity to the project. But in Blackpool, it's the same. In Blackpool, it's the gorilla, you know, the gorilla. It's very strong. It's like the concept of not afraid and go for the fight. And yeah, so I mean, in StakeDAO, the team is about 60 contributors. There's no core team. There's no founders. It's everyone on the page of contributors is part of the project and contribute the same level.
That's amazing, man. I love it. And I'm gonna drop some of the Telegram stickers in the description of the podcast so people can see them. So can you talk more about the team behind StakeDAO? I know like you've been working on StakeDAO. Some of the team members have been working on StakeDAO for a long time. Can you comment on like how the development process was there and like who the contributors are, etc. It's a really big team, right?
Yeah. I mean, I initiated the project like 2 years ago with State Capital. It was only for B2B businesses, family offices, and all the stuff. And then people were like, "But I would like to participate in your services. How can I do that?" I'm like, "Okay, you can. I can give you a script. I can give you a bot on Telegram, and then you can see your staking across all these different protocols." But it was very difficult. So then I thought about building this retail platform. But to build a retail platform, it takes time if it's really well executed. So I work on that for about six months. I got the best team ever, and it's always the most important bit when you're building something, is finding the right people that have the same vision as you, and also they are very good. So you don't waste your time trying to explain, and they are entrepreneur mindset. So StakeDAO is not, I mean, the idea about having one place for everything, not for everything, but like a dashboard where you can manage your strategies, and you can also have access to liquid staking, potentially options and futures, and also maybe trading, because that's what this is the alpha that I can tell you, but this is what I'm actually moving into, like FX trading. This is not new in the space. I mean, it's not new in DeFi. Everything is just traditional. What we're doing in DeFi is everything is just already built. It's traditional finance brought to decentralized finance with new tools, but the concepts are always the same. So the idea was to find the right people that are super good, and ship very fast. So this happened, and I found the right people, and we execute the product in less than 6 months. But we have way more to, we're just going like step by step, but we already have a lot of different products in the pipeline that we're going to release in a couple of days.
That's amazing. And I love the UI. I love how StakeDAO looks, and it's impressive what you've built so far. So you've already said, like, you're currently offering strategies. Some are going to be custom made by you. You offer staking alternatives. You offer swaps. And you also offer a fiat on-ramp. So I wanted to sort of understand, like, how this value accrues to the StakeDAO token, right?
Yeah, so everything you do on StakeDAO, anything you do, for example, you might do a swap, you might buy crypto, you might invest in some strategies, you might do liquid staking. Whatever we take on the top of it, for example, if we provide the best strategy and we give you 15 or 20% APY on the conservative strategy, meaning only stablecoin, so your risk is zero, then we'll take a 15% performance fee. If the strategy is a little bit more risky, the APY will be obviously more high, and will provide also a performance fee or maybe a little bit more because we have more to manage. But all those performance fee, for example, like a swap, we give you the best quote ever. We give you the best routes. So you swap, we give you the best route. You buy crypto fiat on ramp, you buy it from pound, US dollar, or euro. We give you like into fiat, into stable coins or like crypto, then this is actually the best quote. And we charge a little fee, which are, I think, 0.5%. It's cheaper than going to Coinbase or going to an exchange, because then you will pay high, except if you, for example, like Coinbase Pro, where you need to understand. And most of the people that we have, imagine that the first 3 days we onboard 3,600 people that never got any exposure to crypto before. So without actually using a wallet. So what we do, whatever you do across the platform, if we charge a performance fee to build better products, we redistribute all the stake down. So if then you earn this platform.
Yeah.
To the strategies. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, man. You caught a bit. Right there. But I was actually going to ask you about this onboarding of more than 3,000 people. I think it's a huge number, you know, for the size of DeFi. So I wanted to ask you, how did that happen? How did you achieve that? And also, what are you seeing people doing on the platform when you onboard them?
Yeah, now we actually have more than 6,000 people from non-crypto. We doubled number in the less than. Can you hear me?
Yep. You want to maybe?
Okay, cool. I can turn off my video.
Perfect.
Yeah, if that's better, because I think my internet is not very stable. Now we actually have 6,000 people. It's just like, I think it's connections, and we present the platform. We didn't do like any marketing or any post on or pay advertising and all the stuff. We believe that if we provide a product that has some intrinsic value, then people will come naturally. And this is exactly what happened. We just shared the platform across our network, like a few different friends, and then they saw that was pretty cool, and they did the same. But when you have like contributors of 60 people and they share to 5 or 10 people and they like it, so those people, they will do the same. And then in 3 days, we got up to 4,000 people with no exposure to DeFi. With no previous exposure to DeFi, But then on the NFT, on the wallet side, it's way more. On the Web3 side, we have like a lot of people. But for us, the interesting metric was those people with no Web3 wallet.
Yeah, totally, man. That's amazing, and it's sort of interesting that you're not just building for the current crypto users, but also trying to onboard users into this new paradigm. You know, it's really cool.
Yeah.
So, man, I wanna dive deeper into the strategies, because I think there's a lot there, and there's a lot of interesting stuff happening there. So. You're currently live with four strategies that leverage Yearn technology. So you have a synthetic Bitcoin strategy, a three pool strategy, a Euro strategy, and a Wi-Fi strategy. I wanted to understand how those strategies work, if they currently work in the same way as Wi-Fi, like farming, curving the background, and sort of buying more of the underlying.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. So we have been building our own strategies as well. Those ones are being audited. The Euro strategy is our strategy, and then the USD and the BTC strategy are built from Yearn code. And the reason for that, Michael built Curve. When I first built Stake DAO, the idea was to be able to participate in a governance of Curve. So what I said before, when I built Stake DAO, was the original idea was to be building in still on the top of Curve. The reason for that is to provide the community a voice on Curve. So in order to do that, you need to have a lot of Curve tokens. And the reason why the only way to do that is by providing a concept of liquid staking. People that provide a Curve token into a vault, and then we use this vault to lobby or to participate in Curve governance for the good health of the Curve building project in a future. So what you do, you deposit your Curve tokens into a vault, and then this will boost the rewards on those different vault, like USD, BTC, and etc. So yeah, and then we use this to make votes on different protocols. For now, we're on Curve, but we can also do the same for Aave. We can do the same for SushiSwap. Basically, this platform is for people that don't want to spend money to participate in governance because it's expensive, but they also believe that if they delegate their voting power, then Stake DAO will do the best for their interest and also for the interest of the community.
Oh, that's really interesting. That's really interesting. I see where you're going. Like people are going to develop trust in Stake DAO, and sort of trust that governance power is going to be used in the right ways, right? For the long term.
Exactly.
Sort of. I love it. So, man, now I want to get like into your own custom strategies. You're gonna be launching an arbitrage strategy, a black pool strategy, which is related to NFT trading, a liquidation strategy, and an APY hunter strategy, right? I wanted to sort of understand like how each of those would work and sort of where development is at here.
Yeah, sure. The high frequency arbitrage strategy, obviously this will be on L2. It's already, the staff, the code on L2 is already built. The only thing that is missing is the right now, it's kind of like the liquidity, obviously, makes sense. The NFT trading strategy will give you exposure to all the different verticals that are being supported by Blackpool. So Sorare, the football fantasy game, which is one of the top NFT game right now in the space. Top Shot, Golden Chain, Crypto Voxel, Decentraland, and all the different strategy, we have the best managers that you can find in the space that are taking care of this strategy. So if it's Decentraland, they will buy some piece of lands and make sure we can either lend them or we can buy them to people. The same. So we are like primitives on the top of it, like landing, landing market. We have like also like options in future where you can actually borrow some liquidity against your portfolio. So in Blackpool, it's really like just something, a project that is focused on NFT, and you'll be able to participate through the through StakeDAO. Liquidation, it's about like 60-70% done. The smart contract are okay. It's just like the DevOps around this strategy. But yeah, the liquidation is something that I've been doing for a couple of months now, and I've been taking a lot of liquidation in a space. So my goal was to provide this to retail, and so they can also participate in the liquidation sector. APY Hunter is already built. We just need to release it. But we also have like three different new pools. We built Aave, which is like, I call it the Inception pool, because it's actually depositing into Aave and then using, so Aave, some stablecoins in Aave, then depositing this in Curve, and then bringing this into the strategy. And then you can basically have Aave plus fees in the auto market maker of Curve, plus the rewards of all of them.
Nice. So I had a few questions there about, like, for example, the NFT strategy and the arbitrage strategy and the liquidation one. Are those strategies gonna work on chain or off chain? Like, how would the process work there? For example, if I deposit into the Blackpool.
So some of them, Blackpool will be on chain. Liquidation, a little bit of the liquidation, some verticals inside the liquidation will be off chain. All the funds will be all on chain. It's just like the DevOps, you know, because some of them you need a little bit of DevOps around the thing. But the more, obviously, if we can do everything trustless, we'll do. That's the mission. But because in liquidation we are covering quite a lot of different products, so it's a little bit difficult to execute correctly. But that's the plan. Yeah.
That's really cool. And for the liquidation and the arbitrage strategy, are you looking into sort of the projects that are currently working around MEV in DeFi, like such as ArcherDAO or KeeperDAO, or do you have like an in-house approach to sort of handle front runner?
One of the strategies that we have built and will be live in a couple of days is we call it the Dark Forest. And Dark Forest will give you exposure to liquidity for sending transaction without going to the main pool. So obviously using ArcherDAO. Been looking into KeeperDAO, but I need to understand the concept a little bit more. But we can definitely integrate those different products. That's no problem.
That's awesome.
I mean, ArcherDAO, it's already built, so.
Yeah, totally. That's awesome and that's exciting. And I'm definitely going to try to try Dark Forest when it comes out. So sir, you've said on Twitter that V2 is coming soon, right? StakeDAO V2. I imagine some of what will be in V2 is these new strategies, but can you comment sort of what else can we expect with this new upgrade?
I don't want to say too much, but it will be a new concept of gamification that I think no one has ever thought in a space yet. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So now I want to move into Blackpool. You've already mentioned some things about Blackpool. It's another sort of product by you guys, which aims to become like a financial services provider in the NFT space. offering asset valuation indexes, insurance, and actively managed strategies, right? So can you give us an overview of like how Blackpool works and what products you're currently offering?
Yeah, sure. For now, Blackpool is private. It's closed to us, meaning that we don't, the retail cannot access Blackpool. We've been working on Blackpool for the past year, more like underground in stealth mode. And now we are ready to bring Blackpool to the retail. So Blackpool DAO will emerge this month. We're just making sure the contracts and the architecture is correct. But basically, Blackpool is algorithmic trading for NFT. So what we do, we apply different bots and different strategies off-chain, not on-chain right now, and we analyze the market. And the focus is really on passive income. So we'll invest and we'll participate inside those different verticals that are providing passive income, meaning that we can use those NFT to do utility in something. For example, if it's Server, the football fantasy game, we'll be using the player, those NFT cards to play the game. But also what is important is like in Server, the data that the NFT is getting as XP, like if you were playing an MMO RPG or like a game, is correlated to the performance of the player in real life. So mm-hmm. if Messi or Mbappe, they perform well on the field and they score, then your NFT will get XP. And those XP are pulled from the Oracle of Opta. Opta, which is one of the biggest data analytics platform for betting online and gaming. So what you can do, you can apply like quant, like analysis, data analysis and research on the traditional finance, so the real finance, but then bring this and mash this into the NFT. So what we do, for example, in Surrey, we watch all the games. We analyze the performance of each player. We predict that one team might win against another one because of, I don't know, playing at home or playing outside, or because some players in the team used to play in the other team, like stuff like that. We apply this and then we buy those players and we make them play. We're planning to do exactly the same in Top Shot and other markets such as Decentraland, Crypto Voxel, where we know if we buy those NFT, we can either lend the piece of land, or we can make a manager that will basically use this land to break some, for example, build the office of Blackpool inside Decentraland. And then inside Blackpool office in Decentraland, we can only list Mbappe NFT. So if in the near future you want to buy NFT, or you want to buy one of the best player, or one of the best NFT from Blackpool, you will need a ticket or you'll need a key to enter the building inside the virtual world. Like all those different concepts. So what we have different verticals. We only get involved in those verticals if we find a manager that knows the game pretty well, knows the NFT vertical really well, and can actually provide his knowledge and expertise. And then we open. So, for example, we have, I mean, the only investment, speculative investment that we've made so far is Hash Mask. We got involved in that. I think we got something like 40 or 50 masks.
That's really cool. I love the Hash Masks. So basically you have different verticals, right? And in each vertical you have the managers, right? And they're like the ones who sort of know the game and who are trading, etc. So I was curious about, like, do you have like a standard sort of framework for all the managers, or do you let them like do their own strategies as they see fit? Wanted to sort of understand how that works.
No, their goal is is to increase the APY. So they are free. They are free to operate the strategy in their own way. We provide the tools. So for example, if we need a bot that will participate in auction market. So for example, if you need a bot that will make sure that we'll make sure that we guarantee that we'll buy them on the market using different way of participating in auction, for example, based on timing, based on being super aggressive. It's like poker, you know, playing poker. It's exactly the same. So we have different strategy. And if you need a bot to make sure we can buy this NFT, we'll provide the bot. If you need to understand the market in search vertical, for example, valuation of the lands in Decentraland in certain area, whose part of the Decentraland is being the most used, which of those NFT in Comets and the spaceship game we need to acquire if you want to play and be the best at the game. Boom, we provide those analytics, and then we let the manager managing those NFT, because it's very time consuming to participate in those different verticals.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I was actually reading about one of your team members in Sorare who bought Mbappé for 116 ETH, and I was impressed by that number. I was wondering, like, what the size of this market is, and I don't know if you can tell, but what kind of returns you're seeing here?
Yeah, so actually, the manager didn't buy the NFT. We bought it. So Blackpool bought Mbappé, okay. But then we gave Mbappé to the best manager who could operate Mbappé. And this manager is actually a French guy, because so Max. but Kimmich, we gave it to the best manager that could operate Kimmich. So it's actually owned by AG. I'm saying actually bullshit, but yeah. So that's what we do. We buy those NFT and then we give them to the best manager in this portfolio that can operate the player. But yeah, I mean, returns are crazy right now. Returns are around 105%. So if you go to Blackpool/Matrix and you look at our portfolio, I think we have 2.6 million. US worth of NFTs, and currently the APY is about like 105%, meaning that we generate per month something like around 150-200k. So I'll let you calculate per day, but yeah, it's pretty insane. So then the goal of this of Blackpool is then to DAOsify the vehicle, and then basically let getting exposure to the DAO, and the DAO will be the token will be tracking the asset under management, and then you'll be, as a governance, you'll be able to decide which vertical we need or we want to jump in. We need to support more, we need to allocate more resources, we need to get more managers. That's basically what we currently going to release.
Oh, that's really interesting. That's really interesting. So the DAO token holders are basically gonna own a piece of all the NFTs, right? And but you're also gonna have the LPs that are gonna provide the liquidity, and they'll get a yield from the DAO activity, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, if you invest and provide liquidity inside the pools, then you will get the performance fees of the DAO. And anyone buying the governance token will be able to stake it, and all the profits that we're making across the entire project will be distributed to the people that stake the token. So you'll be able to capture the evolution of the asset under management plus the performance that we that the DAO is making across all the different verticals. The interesting bit behind if your time is precious and you can stay getting involved in all those different verticals, Well, basically, if you expose yourself and you, it will basically mean that you are exposed to all the different verticals that the DAO is actually playing. But buying an index token, which the index token will basically get all those tokens across the industry, because here we, of course, we invest in those different projects, but we also actively participate in those projects. So we actually generate passive income, which is a very big difference between investing in an index token. Index token can be cool. You hedge yourself across different assets, but here you invest in the DAO that basically its main goal per day is to be the best at what it does on each of those verticals.
Yeah, totally. Makes sense. And you also know that the NFTs are going to be managed like by the experts in each of these platforms, right?
So you say again?
No, I was saying that it makes total sense. And you also know like the NFTs you buy are going to be used like by experts in each of those platforms, which are the managers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, correct.
Okay. Really cool, man. Really cool and excited for Blackpool DAO. I now wanted to move on to Rekt. Rekt was launched like, I don't know, a few months ago and it's been covering...
About two months ago, yeah.
Two months ago, and a half. And it's been covering major DeFi events in a characteristic and interesting way. Can you comment on sort of like what the vision is here and why you launched it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, during the ICO craziness in 2017, I wrote some Medium post and about some ICO that were doing, I mean, some scams. And I was basically doing investigation on my own to investigate this project and why they were scams and all the stuff. So I wrote those articles and then got sued by multiple different projects that were saying that my articles were defamatory and they were not correct. Well, 2 years later, or 3 or 4 years later, they all disappeared. But they sued me for quite a lot of money, $3.5 million and all different things. So basically, in this space, you cannot say whatever you want. And or if you want to say them, you need to say them in such a way that you are legally backed up. And so I always thought about starting again and building something that basically give a voice to the community, but not a voice in the sense of you will have access to a platform for free shilling or free will. If you pay us, then we'll talk about your project. Or if you give us that, or if you buy, or if you give us something, we'll talk about it in a good way. Well, that's what's not. This is a self-funded project. Doesn't accept any money to advertise or to shield a specific project. So, Rekt is really a platform for community. It's really a platform for the people that are using those products and. They don't necessarily understand what's going on, but they won't actually get access to the information. But mission is whatever is on chain will be used as a proof of whatever we say, but will not accept information just because you're saying that the information is true. We'll actually always verify. So think about Rekt as a bunch of detectives, a bunch of personal investigators that will investigate a case and will quickly jump into an event in DeFi that is happening. So if you look at all the different hacks, all the different exploits, or all the different things that happen in DeFi, and now also like between traditional finance and DeFi and decentralized finance, we cover the information in less than 3 or 4 hours. We try to be super fast and we analyze, but we don't analyze in, oh, something happened and then someone get hacked and that's the link to the Etherscan. No. We go to the deep understanding of what happened and we provide information and we try to teach the community how those different information are connected between each other. So that's what we do. So think about Rekt as the WikiLeaks of DeFi. But there's also something really, really unique about Rekt. Rekt is written by the top quality English that you will find in the space. I dare anyone in the space to actually find another platform that will better will formulate and will also write better articles than us, than Rekt community. So it's a high standard quality. That's what we write a little. We don't write about like all the things. We just like focus on a niche, but we make it like we execute very, very well. That's the mission of Rekt. And now we're also turning Rekt into version 2. And version 2 will be, I think, kind of a game changer in the space. So obviously, fully decentralized and some concept of confidentiality and stuff like that. So it will become, don't think Rekt as a media platform, think Rekt as a tech platform. That's the mission of Rekt.
That's awesome. I wanted to ask you sort of about V2, but I can sort of imagine what's coming, right? Sort of a decentralization and that'll be really cool to see, you know?
I think what we, the vision of Rekt is something like pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. What we'll be releasing in the coming weeks will also, maybe also like this month, maybe next week or in 2 weeks, we'll also release something really cool about, I'm not sure if you've seen this, I mean, those concepts of what we call Hopium Diaries. So Hopium Diaries, the original idea was one of the article that I read every year, like either at the beginning or the end of the year, is this article on Reddit, which is called "I'm here for the future." I mean, I'm a time traveler. I'm here for the future to tell you what you're doing is bad. And this is about Bitcoin and crypto and the citadels and basically explain in the article that it predicts very well the price of Bitcoin. And for those reasons, is actually from the future and is here to say that what we're building is bad because we're building a kind of like a VIP or privileged people that will live in the citadels. And if you don't have access to crypto or Bitcoin, you will be outside and starving for life, mm-hmm. starving to death. So here in Hopium Diaries, you can look into them and we have like some of them that are really cool. Like for example, like Ape Tax is also like a little bit the same thing. But what we basically give the users, the readers, some intellectual or psychological thoughts about what actually we're building. Are we building something that is actually much better than traditional finance, or are we just replacing those people in governance by ourselves, privileged people, because we're just less than 0.001% of the entire population being involved in this? So we actually ask questions to ourselves and basically try to imagine the future, try to imagine what we're building and what kind of impact we have in this society. So in a couple of days or a couple of weeks, we're going to release something cool about it as well.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. And I'm definitely going to read them. I'm definitely going to read them. And yeah, I agree. And I've also asked it myself, you know, like, are we recreating what we want to sort of get rid of, or are we really creating something different that's going to make the world better, you know? And I love these philosophical questions as well. So, sir, I wanna move on to Curve. You're part of the Curve team, and I really love the product. And Curve has already become a key piece of infrastructure in DeFi. You keep adding new assets, volume keeps increasing. And you recently even added capabilities for cross-asset swaps. So I wanted to sort of get your take, like in your opinion, what's the vision for Curve going forward?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Curve is, people have to understand that Curve is kind of like quite unique in the space. And also unique in the vision, but also unique in technological implementation. I mean, Turk is really mathematics, and the man behind the curve is Michael, and really focused on mathematics, and that's why Curve is being such a successful project. And think about Curve as a protocol level. So ideally, it's like all the projects in the space will be using Curve as the underlying, the auto market maker, or swapping assets, and also finding a way to swap asset for the best for almost zero slippage or zero, and also providing liquidity at zero impairment loss and all different things. Curve is actually focused on stablecoin. And if you think about it, apparently statistics and people are saying that 50 or 60% on the entire market of crypto will be absorbed by stablecoins because of nations will need to print their national currencies in crypto, and they will provide all those massive volumes of fiat into the crypto world. Mm-hmm. So if Curve provide the best infrastructure for stable coins, or like but stable coins not in the sense of just stable coin like US dollars or euro or yens and all the stuff, it's actually also per pool. So for example, the pool of Synthetix ETH or ETH in the same pool will also be the best pool that you can actually swap your liquidity across, and you can provide liquidity inside. And so Curve could be taking into the market of the Forex market if the Forex market does about 5 or 6 trillion volumes per day, then if Curve can take 1% or even less than that, or even more than that, then it will be pretty huge. And Curve is currently doing 500,000 profit back to the governance holders. So people that participate in governance, people that stake their asset, they are receiving about $500,000 per week. But Curve is doing something like between 300 and 5 million volume per day. So almost like $500 million volume per day, and has a TVL of a little bit more than $3 billion. So it's a massive project. It's a huge protocol in a space, and no one can ignore this protocol, because if you want to build a fantastic project, dApps or fantastic protocol, you need to go through Curve now. That's not possible otherwise.
That's huge. That's definitely huge. And you know, I hadn't like heard about 50 or 60% of the market being stable coins. But it makes total sense, you know, when CBDCs sort of start happening and start getting used, the importance of sort of like a piece of infrastructure like Curve is only gonna increase. So that's exactly. Huge, and I hadn't thought about that. So I wanted to touch on cross asset swaps, which is something you released fairly soon, and you've already seen more than 100 million in cross asset swaps, and they basically allow you to go from any asset to any other asset through Curve using Synthetix in the background, right? So can you walk us like how this works and sort of how the development happened here?
Yeah, sure. I think this is was actually well framed by Mark from Aave. Mm-hmm. He said, I was talking to him, and he said, when I met him a couple of weeks ago, well, I was like on a panel, but he said, yeah, that was DeFi. I mean, that was Curve. It was before Curve cross swap and after Curve cross swap in the DeFi industry. The reason for that is because this functionality is actually a new paradigm in DeFi. It's a new way of thinking. And why? So cross asset swap, I mean, like swapping asset through your pools, it's like using native, kind of like native tokens. So you will swap USDC, USDT, and DAI in the same pool, but those are on chain. I mean, they're like the native assets. So native assets in the sense of DeFi, obviously. But curve cross swap, what it does, basically use the synthetics protocol. So basically using the dApps. And what it does is if you want to swap huge amounts, so curve algorithm and formulas, and because they actually, the formula of curve is being built for near peg assets. So very close asset near to each other. That's why it actually guarantee you zero slippage and whatsoever. So you cannot really do right now with the current situation, current algorithm of curve, you cannot do ETH to BTC, for example. So what we built is you go ETH, you go to synthetics, and then you use the depth of synthetics. So on the synthetics pool, so the SNX ETH pool, and you basically go through the root of synthetics and you do like SBTC. So you have like S ETH, SBTC inside synthetics, and then you exit synthetics in BTC. So basically you could swap like the amount that you can swap at zero slippage, I mean nearly zero slippage, is basically determined by the situation of the depth in synthetics. How big, not the depth, but how big is the pool in synthetics. But so what it does, because when you do this swap, the settlement, you got a few minutes of settlements. So what we do, we print an NFT that represents your claiming your swap. And then when the settlement is over after a couple of minutes, you can burn this NFT to claim the swap, the amount. And we, I think it was a couple of days ago, we quickly did more than 100 million US dollars of cross swaps. So going from ETH to another asset or a different asset, which is like pretty big, because the thing is like for huge volume, like for example, imagine you want to trade 45 million or 20 million or 15 million or 1 million, or you go to Uniswap or you go to Balancer or whatever, you will get a massive slippage. We get like 1% or 1.5% or 2%. But if you swap 10 million US dollars and you get a 1% or 2% slippage, it's not possible. So but if you use our technology, then we guarantee you no slippage. I mean, nearly zero slippage, which is like a game changer, because you can actually talk to, as you said, like big institutions or in traditional finance, they understand this. It's a multi-collateral party, where you basically normally go for weeks of signing documents and saying, okay, I will transfer 20 million to that company. And then you need to agree and you need to find someone in the middle that will verify that those accounts exist and then transfer the money and temporarily transfer the money somewhere. So then it's actually between two banks or whatsoever. Here, what you can do is actually instant. You just need to wait like six or like a few minutes, and then you can redeem and then make almost like atomic swap between two different assets. That's amazing. I mean, atomic swap in the sense of zeros of not paying fees. So the fees that you will pay is just for the gas, because it's quite expensive transaction. So you can pay roughly like 200 or 500 US dollars, but it's nothing, because if you pay zero slippage on it, 1 million or 5 million, basically 5 million cross asset, 5 million swap from ETH to BTC will cost you 500 US dollars for whatever amount of money you're trying to transfer.
Yeah. That's crazy. And I think it's a brilliant solution as well. You know, I read about sort of this solution, I don't know, it was sort of 3-4 months ago, like when it was sort of in the planning phases. I don't know if someone proposed it like in a forum or something. And I don't know. I thought it was sort of delegated, like, you know, it had sort of stayed like as an idea So I was really excited, like, when you started tweeting about it.
I see. Well, because also like was pretty well executed by Ben, who's also someone from Curve team. So yeah, I think it's I think the vision of such a product, because I mean, people, they're like, okay, cool, that's cool, you can make a huge trade. I mean, it's actually a game changer because you're talking like directly to massive institution in the world. But what you can do as well, you could do for the time of the settlement, you can also, this is actually starting to be very interesting, is you can actually build options on the top of it. So you could actually print attached to your NFT, you could print some, I mean, you can get like into calls and puts and then basically short or long, depending on what happened on the market. Because if the market, for example, there's a 10 or 20% collapse on the asset, on the cross asset that you're doing, then you need to hedge yourself. So people could actually build those kind of, those kind of options attached to this swap, and you could hedge yourself, which is like pretty crazy.
That's amazing. Like a 3-minute option.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Imagine you do in the near future when synthetics, they, I mean, for now we are limited by the, I mean, this is like a brilliant idea, but don't forget that it's still like a risky one because we rely on Oracle, and the basics of Curve is zero Oracle. And I don't understand why DeFi is actually not using the virtual price of Curve, because it's the best thing they can do. But synthetics are using the Chainlink, and Chainlink, they have this, that's why we actually, for us, we charge in Curve, which are 0.04% on fee on the swap. But the synthetics, they charge quite, I think it's 0.35%, which is quite a lot of money. And they are actually limited by the Chainlink. They call it the deprivation. I don't remember in English how this is called, but the deprivation price is actually the Oracle. It's attached to the Oracle. So my point is, this swap is still like, I mean, I like Chainlink, and I think Chainlink is a brilliant idea, but still like relies on Oracle and relies on the depth of synthetics. So it's still like some, it's not like, you know, like not driven entirely by mathematics. That's my point, like Curve.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So how do you see this cross-asset swaps evolving? I understand like right now they're obviously sort of more usable or sort of designed for big trades, because you spend a lot in fees because of all the steps involved. But do you see like a future where smaller transactions can also be performed using this technology?
Yeah, that's what we, obviously. Yeah. I think the future is really working on advanced mathematics and working on those auto market maker formulas and trying to find out and trying to always push the boundaries of those limitation across cross asset swaps, obviously. Yeah.
That's really cool. So in terms of L2s and scaling, I understand Curve is building out a version on ZK Sync, right? Can you comment like where development is at here and sort of why you chose ZK Sync?
I mean, I'm not sure if I can really comment on L2, but I would say that we are working on a few different solutions, and ZK Sync was the first one to reach out to us, and that's what we integrate and we test it. But we are testing a few different solutions, so we're not really limited to. I think we just for now we really investigating in the space and trying to find the best for Curve.
Okay. That's really cool. So, man, thanks a lot for your time. We've already done more than 1 hour, so thank you very much. I want to give you some time to give basically some closing thoughts. So how can people reach out to you, get involved with StakeDAO, maybe Blackpool DAO and Curve?
Yeah, sure. You can follow me on Twitter. I think I'm pretty fast at answering messages on Twitter. I think it's the best place if they want to reach out. And then all the different projects, Curve, Blackpool, StakeDAO, Rekt, the Twitter is also the best place to have access to the links and the different Telegram groups. Of course, if you like, if you're a really big fan of mathematics, I will recommend Curve website, and you can go and click on the top right hand side and you can have access to the resources, and inside you will find the documentation and also like everything about the protocol.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, man. Really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and keep going. That was great.